Or we can just talk about my hot air to start with. Yep, more than usual.
I feel
gassy. Me too.
No, I feel very nervous about sitting next to you right now.
As well you should. I can't see the screen, by the way.
So oh, flipping heck.
Hey, look at that. It's a man.
It's you.
Human male.
You are certainly a human male. We can give you that. So, would you like to tell the viewers why I'm particularly nervous about sitting next to you right now?
Well, to be fair, as a gentleman, I gave you warning that things...
I don't care about the gentlemanness of it all.
I could have just let this play out and just see your reaction.
It wasn't like, dude, I'm flatulent as, and I didn't think to myself, what a jolly good fellow for letting me know. Like, so you've had a bout of the shits. I'll let you tell the story.
My house has been full of bugs over the weekend, or Friday.
Yes.
Friday, my daughter. Thursday, my son. Friday, my daughter.
This is how I'm going to look at you for the whole podcast, though.
Saturday, me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's not been a good weekend in the old Morgan household. And I'm at the tail end. I'm pretty much fine.
It's certainly at your tail end.
Exactly. It's coming out the tail end.
Okay. So, for the start of this podcast, I was just catching up on some of the rugby. Talking through a few of the games.
Yeah.
We never do that.
We actually did a little bit of prep.
We did some prep.
Believe it or not.
And he just, he was outside, there's some French doors over here. He was on the deck.
On the deck.
Just trumpeting away the whole, like, just how many farts do you think you got through?
Like a gentleman, though. I wasn't just
doing it. Yeah, you were just in the lounge going, bam, crop dusting me, which I...
I wasn't, like, doors closed, like hot box in the lounge.
Oh. But now we're in here, and I've had to close the doors because we don't...
The bugs will come in at the sun is set, the lights are on.
There are lots of lights on. Studio custom, my house is in full operation.
And now I'm strapped in.
This, I feel like I can't escape. You know that moment when you go on a really scary roller coaster and you're like...
This is it. Too late to back out now. I can't back out.
That's how I'm feeling. I'm right at the top where I'm like, this sounded like fun.
I apologize for what's about to happen, but...
Are we going to get a non-stop thrill ride coming from your asshole?
We'll see how it goes, but...
Is that the name of the podcast? Non-stop thrill ride from Mark Morgan's asshole.
Basically. At least I'm like back to normal. I felt like shit over the weekend.
You look a little gaunt.
You reckon?
You look a little bit more
pale. I've not been eating my full amount just because I've been, you know...
I've been eating your fair share.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been taking that over for you.
Okay.
Yeah. But you feel... You're on the
well, like, I didn't get up at 2 o'clock this morning to watch rugby. I was like, nah, I need sleep.
Was that the Japanese game that was on?
The Scottish one and then the Japanese one, yeah.
The Scottish one and then the Japanese one.
Yeah. So those were on at 2 and 4. I got up at 7 o'clock.
Just straight into
that. So I was like, drop kids at school and watch the rugby.
Avoid the socials?
I did avoid the socials, actually. Do you want to touch on that?
No, we won't. It's about too rugby adjacent, really.
Well, that's...
We'll talk about that at some stage. I got into a little tete-a-tete.
It's not like you.
I don't. I don't ever get into online back and forths. But I thought I was doing someone a favor until it got pointed out to me that it was not a favor. Come on,
didn't
man.
Appreciate you.
Like many things in my life, is unappreciated.
Yeah. You thought you were doing the right thing, just like me. Standing out on the deck.
Yeah, you were doing the right thing. Okay. But right now, what is the right thing to do? Are you going to like try and clench butt cheeks, or are you just...
I'll try and hold it for the good hour, but you may see me at one point.
And you know what's bad? When you try and hold it for too long,
it builds.
And it festers.
Yeah, it festers.
And it comes out particularly rank. So we might have an emergency stop.
I'm drinking water to try and not add to the gas situation.
It's
but
a lovely,
I may.
Lovely beer that we're drinking I may, here.
Yeah. Oh, should we talk about the...
Yeah, who bought us the beer?
Matt.
From Thumbs Up.
Thumbs Up Yacht Delivery.
Oh, what do you need Thumbs Up Yacht Delivery for?
In case you've got a yacht and you need it to go from A to B.
So you're saying, if I'm in Barcelona and I left my yacht in Mallorca...
Yes.
So, and I'm thinking to myself, you know what, I really should have brought the yacht. The kids would love a little jaunt around the Mediterranean today. Someone would take that yacht for me from Mallorca to Barcelona.
Matt would do that for you. Matt or one of his experienced crew.
Man, Matt's a good bastard. Let's say if I'm in Monte Carlo and this is a big challenge. and I left my boat in the city of sails, Auckland. Maybe he could, but it'd be a hell of a trip.
You could contact him for a quote.
Contact
for sure.
him for a quote. Maybe
he has a website.
He has a YouTube channel.
And he has Instagram.
Yes.
All the socials.
They'll see the Instagram one. Might be down low. I think I did it down low last week.
Yeah.
And by the way, did you notice last week I put in sailing noises behind?
Yes.
Yeah.
For the whole thing. They didn't turn off. They just played on a loop the whole time.
Yeah, so I just wanted... Just listen. You can feel the... Can you feel it?
Are there birds squawking or is that... Seagulls?
Maybe I'll have to add some more stuff.
Pirate noises.
No, but the foghorn starts with a foghorn.
Right.
But yeah, so get in touch with Thumbs Up Yachting. It's tuyachting.com. Is that it?
It'll be in your description. You'll remember.
Yeah, it'll be all down below. And but we need to tell the people who are listening on this podcast, on the various platforms that this podcast comes on.
It goes in the description of that, doesn't it?
It does, but who looks at the description when they're listening to a podcast? So yeah, go to look.
Google is your friend, man. Thumbs Up Yacht Delivery.
Yeah, Thumbs Up Yacht Delivery.
Get a thumbs up for us. He brought us these beers.
Two thumbs up. We're Cisco and Evo.
These are called Hazy Showboat.
See what you did there.
I got a boat-related beer.
Boom.
So thank you, Matt, for the beers.
Yeah.
If I had a yacht, I'd let Matt deliver my boat all day long.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I don't know how to sail, so I'd probably...
Yeah, deliver my boat and then sail it for me. Take me on a trip.
Yeah,
I felt like there was a bit of sexual innuendo the way you said that.
Is it?
Yeah,
you're maybe like, it's still the gas that I'm holding in.
I let him deliver my boat. He could take me down my Suez Canal anytime he liked. No one wants to go down your Suez Canal right now, actually.
Ride the mast.
Yeah, crap. Exactly.
I don't know nautical language.
He could wreck my mast. Oh, he can. There probably is. Something to us port and starboard.
Yeah. Which one's which?
Port is one side and starboard's the other.
I knew that already, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know which is which. You know the word posh?
I did know the word posh.
So I don't know what, it might be some sort of transatlantic trip, but the best views were on port leaving out, going out, and then the best views were starboard coming home. So the most expensive tickets were the posh tickets, so it's poor, but
is this another port, one of your bullshit out, like this home. Comes from this but it actually doesn't things
could be probably. But I heard it somewhere and I
you always tell it very convincingly, but I've heard it so many times that now I'm like, no, I can't trust this guy.
What have I led you all astray?
There
on?
Was a like the one,
the one, the bad one was quantitative and qualitative.
Yeah, that one. You said it with the utmost confidence and I was like, well, I didn't know that. And everyone was like, that's not what it is. And I was like, that's why I didn't know that. And the other one was palms.
No, I debate that. Prisoner of Your Majesty the Queen.
Yeah,
that's bullshit.
But cheers to Matt. Thanks to Matt for the beer.
Yeah, thanks. And look out posh, everybody.
Let us know.
Yeah, 100%.
Check out Matt's on the old socials.
The socials. Get into it, mate. What game of rugby do we want to start with?
There's so many.
There were a lot of games of rugby. And they were kind of like... lacking not too many big blockbusters.
I felt like the big two were Scotland, Australia, and France, Argentina, in terms of like my expectations going into them. Because the other ones, I all figured probably going to be hidings.
Okay, so what do you want to start with?
Scotland, Australia.
Okay, we'll start with Scotland, Australia.
It's fresh in the mind.
It is fresh in the mind.
It was played this morning over here in New Zealand at 2 o'clock in the morning. Aussies really got shafted with the kickoff times. Like we had. The Ireland game was 9 o'clock in the morning for us.
Yeah.
The France game was 9 o'clock in the morning for us.
It's just the England game.
The England game was a shit time. England they don't care about anybody's time. Like the time they played Japan would have been a god awful time for anybody in Japan.
And considering it's
and the time they played Australia was a god awful time for the Australians. So the Aussies have got shafted with every single kickoff time.
All right. So before we crack into the game, do we want to get into this little debate that I got myself into?
Okay.
So I woke up this morning, right? And I was like, you know, it was about 6:30, and I was like, I'm gonna try and catch up the first half before work starts.
Yes.
But then I was like, to be honest, I just was like, but what I actually wanted to watch on YouTube while I was eating my cornflakes, I eat cornflakes, same as the oats, actually. Little side note for you.
Do they make you gassy or not really?
Not them. Or maybe I'm just always gassy. I don't know.
Hot air.
Yeah, a lot of that shit. But then I wanted to listen to the Grade Cricketer.
Okay.
Because it's kind of like punishment watching. The Australians talking about how Australia...
Oh, they're doing poorly against India, aren't they?
Getting absolutely pumped.
Okay.
It would be a miracle if when you're watching this, the game is still going.
Okay.
Yeah, it's very, very
unlikely. I just remember having a look at the TAB this morning, and it showed that test was being played, and it said the Indians were paying $1.01 to win. And I was like, holy hell.
Yeah, I could tell you if the game's over already. Cricket.
Oh. Welcome to Tony's Cricket Diversions.
Yeah, the game's done. Okay. Well, India won by 295 runs. Okay. Anyway, so they were getting absolutely pumped. Like a couple of the worst days in Australian cricket history in terms of performance. But I really enjoy the grade cricketer. So I was trying to put that on, trying to find them. Because I watched them quite a lot, especially during the cricket. And I was just flicking through. And then I saw a title from a great rugby podcast called the 8-9 Combo by Harry Mackay and... Oh, no, Harry Jones and Brett Mackay, I should say. That is a really good podcast.
You've showed it to me here before. They got some good guests on as well.
They have Rian Lowe on, who's a friend of the podcast, is an absolute legend.
But Tony Johnson?
Tony Johnson, man. Yeah. Tony Johnson's an absolute...
They should get guests on.
They organize shit. Yeah, and they're both actually pretty renowned.
I bet you they're not full of gas either.
Yeah, they don't have flatulent issues on their podcast. It's a bit more legit than us.
Yeah.
But yeah, the name of the podcast was The Postmortem, I think is what they call when they do a thing straight afterwards.
Yeah.
And then it was the next night part of it was, Murrayfield mauled winged wallabies. Okay. And I just saw Murrayfield mauled and I was like, oh no, Scotland won. Not like, oh no, Scotland won, but
that's spoiled. The game, that's the result, yeah.
Shit. So, then should I read these comments? Should we go a tete-a-tete on what I said? Because I did this.
There's a bit of background with this because
I'm a perpetrator and a victim.
You recently put up a video where you talked about the result of a match.
Yeah.
And you kind of put that in, like, how did we win that?
Exactly. The title of it was, how did we win that? No, it was the England game. Okay. The first England game. The third England game, first of the autumn series.
And people were like, Tony, like the first time you post a non-podcast video in ages and you bloody spoiled the result.
Yeah.
And
immediately I went, oh shit, I'm sorry.
You shouldn't have done that.
Learn from my mistake.
I've never put the results into my videos.
Yeah.
However, the way I used to make thumbnails was a player from the winning team. Yeah. I would always put in my thumbnail until some people were like, can you not always put the winning team in the thumbnail because then it spoils the result?
Yeah.
And I was kind of like, look, if you really want to watch that game, the only guaranteed way we can do it is just don't radio, no phone. Like, you just got to stay legit off it. That's the safest way to do it, legit. However,
there is some sort of responsibility on the content creators.
I still change my thumbnails. I put both teams in the thumbnails.
So you
can't look at the thumbnail and know who won.
Yeah.
It's kind of like etiquette.
I think Egg Chasers does the same sort of thing with his full-time hot takes.
Yeah.
I think Kiwi Lads does something very, very similar.
Yeah.
Most of them do just like a couple of screenshots of, you know, like the two captains or something like that.
Yeah.
With like da 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 review,
yeah.
You know, or da 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 hot take. It's not the most exciting.
Yeah.
But the problem is, for these guys, they've got this really cool part of their podcast where they come up with headlines.
Right.
And the best headline, when they agree on it, is the title of the podcast.
Right.
And I always thought it was kind of cool, but it actually spoils it almost every time. So anyway, I went back to him and he was like, basically just said, come on, you're on freaking social media, don't be an idiot. And I went, hey, maybe you shouldn't put the spoiler in the... If you click on a video and you get a spoiler, that's on you. If you see a title, I feel like it's on the creator, you know, a little bit. But really, the safest thing to do is just to stay off. But as a creator, because I learned from it, I was like, oh, shit, that was dumb. I won't do that again.
Yeah.
I won't read through the comments.
I've seen this, I forget, was it the Premiership? One of the competitions I used to kind of check the highlights of, either the URC or Premiership, I can't remember, to like just before I would do like a weekly review, the games I hadn't caught, I was like, oh, I'll just check the highlights and see what happened in that game. Yeah. I think it was the Premiership. They used to put like, you know, Newcastle Falcons, incredible comeback win. Yeah. And then all the comments would always be like, stop spoiling the result. Stop spoiling the result. Like, even highlights in themselves, if you don't know the result, are kind of like, there can be a bit of tension. Like,
100%. Who's going to score?
I don't know.
Yeah, 100%. You look at highlights and you go, you really hope that your team's got the ball and then the start of the next one, or if there's an incredible intercept try.
Yeah.
I often do that when I'm looking at highlights. So, you know, there is the argument is like stay off socials.
Yes.
Yeah, that's definitely the safest thing to do because you won't have, you know, content creators who haven't really thought about it, who don't think it's an issue, who do put spoilers in their titles, spoiling it for you.
Yes.
But it's a video sharing platform.
Yes.
It's not Twitter where you share your opinions, your thoughts, your ideas. It's a video sharing platform where the content is in the videos.
Yes.
You know, like
you guys just let us know your thoughts.
Yeah, what do you think?
Spoilers
below?
In the
Go
titles.
Go check out the 8-9
it's
podcast.
It's a good podcast.
Really
we don't want to create a drama, but I genuinely want to know because we've both had issues with it.
Yeah,
me with the thumbnails,
yeah.
You with the titles, and like I said, the premiership titles. Do you think spoilers in the title okay, you need to stay off social media or probably don't put them in because you're going to potentially spoil it for people?
I did say to him that most creators don't put spoilers in the thumbnail, but then I stumbled across the rugby analyst today.
Oh, really?
And he had ends on a high and he had the Scottish team celebrating.
Okay.
So, you know, maybe...
Yeah, there's no...
It's definitely the safest thing to do is to stay off it.
There's no hard and fast rule. Ultimately, the responsibility...
But I just want to have my bloody breakfast and listen to the great cricketer before I get into...
You were trying to just, like, do the kind of... This is the general etiquette because someone had said...
Someone had said it to me, so I was like, dude... And I started by saying, should we do the role play?
Okay,
come on, let's do the role play.
I got some
guests. So who do you want to be?
I'll be Tony.
Okay, you be me.
So you've just, oh, guys, loving the pod. The headline thing is a cool idea for titles, but spoilers in the title is a massive no-no.
It is no-no.
I was just about to start watching the game.
There we go. And then our man Brett McKay Sport comes in with a, it's literally called the Test Match Postmortem. Come on. This is some great amateur theatre.
Oh, you're missing the point. The spoiler is in the title.
By the way, because he said it's called the postmortem. So I thought he was indicating, like, if you watched it, you're an idiot. It's called a postmortem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Murrayfield Mall chokes winged wallabies. I didn't watch the vid yet. I was scrolling YouTube and your title spoiled the game. I made the same mistake a while back. Don't put the spoilers in titles on the day of the game. Love the pod, champ. I'll discuss this issue on my pod. 2 cents gets distracted. Love the little promo.
There we go.
He's doing a little advertising
there. A little
there.
Plug. And then he starts back with, come on. You've gone to social media and YouTube before you watch the game. What do you expect? I'm not missing the point at all. I just think it's completely unreasonable. Discuss it all you want. But if you don't want spoilers, stay off socials.
I'm sorry
if I gave you. Yeah, no, I know.
Like I mentioned, he's got a point.
Got
he
a
said, all
point.
Right, mate, I see your point, but I respectfully disagree. Respectfully, love it.
Respectfully.
You're not being confrontational. And that's okay. This is a video sharing platform. So if you click on a video, the spoiler's on you. But when it's in the title, that's on the creator. Most rugby
most.
Content creators avoid spoilers in titles on game day for that reason. I actually did it myself a couple of weeks ago. And when someone pointed it out, I saw their perspective and agreed. It's all good that we see things differently. Some cross pod banter is always welcome.
Yeah. So this is the cross pod banter.
Tony is making YouTube drama.
Yeah, absolutely. But go check out their podcast.
It is
really
genuinely
good.
A good podcast.
It's nice.
Tony
and
has genuinely showed me episodes of this podcast.
I like
multiple. After we finish here, we'll sit down, have a yarn, and he'll just flip it on.
Yeah, we check out the different. We do talk about
like
YouTube stuff.
The rugby itch ones that we've seen. We watch loads of different ones.
We watch all sorts of obscure.
We watch
channels,
egg chases. We watch
squidge.
We watch all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah.
And they're both like legit rugby journalists as well.
Yeah,
far
right.
more legit than the both of us.
For sure. Less flatulent as well. Squidge put spoilers in his titles.
I've almost finished a beer and we have barely talked about it.
They're like a week after the game. He's like 5 days after the game, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And I think the grace period is like 24 hours.
Yeah, I agree with you. And because we do our ones and they look, and you know if the All Blacks lost at the beginning of our
because we're looking like,
I feel like we should do that this week after that Italy performance almost. Yeah. It was so shit. But you can see there's definitely giveaways in the titles and
but
stuff.
But it's always after. It's decently
it's like 3
long
days
after
later.
The fact, yes.
Anyway. is what it is.
All right, now that we're
anyway,
like,
go check out the 8-9 podcast. It's very good.
Tony's not genuinely trying to create YouTube drama.
It's a point of contention. Yeah. Tell us your thoughts below.
I think the
tell me your last thought.
No, I was just gonna. Well, I don't want to bias people's comments that they have to agree with me, but. Yeah. I think the done thing is you don't put spoilers in the titles.
Yeah, and also...
I've seen enough complaints about it that I feel like it's just not the done thing. Yeah, I've got complaints about it.
And then the other thing is if you want to be 100% safe as a viewer, stay off social.
Yes, both of these things can be true at the same time.
Yeah. But the decent thing is to try not to put them in your titles.
Yes.
If possible.
Yes.
And if someone, because I was just kind of ignorant to it and someone said it, I was like, oh, shit, and I felt terrible.
Yeah.
I immediately apologized to the person who...
You should have said, stay off social media.
Come on! I should
be reasonable.
Yeah, anyway. It is what it is.
Okay, Scotland did lose to Australia. Spoiler alert.
Okay, this is...
No, Scotland beat Australia.
I'm going to thumbnail that bit as YouTube drama.
Okay.
And then this is actual...
Timestamp. YouTube drama.
Beautiful.
Scotland beat Australia 27-13. So, I mean, 4-1.
It was disappointing. I thought Australia, like I've watched it since.
It was close at halftime.
It was close at halftime, and Australia looked really good for the first 15 minutes.
They started well.
Running really direct, big heavy bodies, charging at the line, getting the head through, making the advantage line. Suwali looked good. Valentini looked good.
Mm.
Wilson was looking great. And I thought, hold on, boys could be on today.
Despite the fact that
but I was like, geez, this looks like they were up for it at the time. Couple of calls here and
despite
there.
The fact that they'd made a few changes as well. Like they had no McCripe for this one. They didn't play Tupou because he's still not 100%. So, I think Schmidt said he was 100%, but he'd only just started back training. So,
I
feel like Joe's got a little bit of a mind on because they've got one more game.
Yeah.
Everyone else is finishing up, but them and Ireland have still got one more game.
One more to go. But it was a little bit... they needed to make more bank in that 15
that early period, and they didn't.
When they had dominance, you know.
Scotland scored first. Scored the first try.
I didn't know.
Line out play over the top. Hits the ball at pace. It's a great try. Tackling though from
the Aussies. Yeah, throughout the game, they missed
34 tackles.
Throughout the game, that was their biggest problem. But I was a little bit miffed, like watching it was the fact the penalty that led to it. I thought was a pretty harsh penalty where the Australians. Made a dominant tackle, blew over the ruck. There weren't any bloody... They blew out the one Scottish player that was there and then they drove right over, had clean ball for themselves, but were deemed to be diving off their feet. I think it's a shitty interpretation when there isn't enough opposition players to actually make it a contest.
Mm.
You know, like I thought that was a little bit rough. What did you think? It's just a penalty. It is what it is.
I mean, there was another call later on in the game when Tom Wright
stood there.
I think that was one of the turning points of the game because the crowd was fine throughout that game. But when that call didn't go against the Wallabies, when they were just like, that's not foul play. The crowd, I feel like, was baying for blood.
Yeah, he braced for impact. He doesn't move his feet. He doesn't. He's entitled to not disappear.
I felt the same.
I know they had Harry Potter on the ground, but nobody was going to do aspirating?
I don't know.
Is that when
a magic spell to disappear?
You're not a Harry Potter aficionado.
No, not really.
But yeah, he doesn't disappear, and then that seems to really fire up the crowd, which then fires up the. Thing. And by the way, we watched that replay for about 25 minutes.
Yeah, that was a long replay.
Jeez Louise, it was.
I remember you saying as soon as we, because we just had a quick like replay of it now, your first thing was, why doesn't he go around him?
Yeah, because if he goes around him, then it's super tempting
for Wright to lean into it.
And if he leans into it,
he gets 100% pinged.
Yeah, and yellow card all day, you know, like, and then you've got your penalty and you've got
a
really good chance of scoring.
Yeah.
But he doesn't. He runs straight into him. They both go down like a sack of potatoes.
Yeah.
And there was nothing in it.
It's almost even like.
Yeah. But the stupid thing was the referee was like from here to the camera distance away.
Yeah.
And he sees it clearly and he goes, clearly nothing wrong. And then we get to watch it for 15 minutes to see that there's nothing wrong with it for 15 minutes. And it's like, yeah. But the... with the Scottish Crown absolutely bang for blood. Spicy game.
Yeah, around. There was a lot of niggle in that game throughout. Like, I remember at one point, I think Tuipulotu and Tom Wright were having to go at each other. Like, I know you too. I guess because they know each other from age group rugby in Australia. I don't know what that means. I know you.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know. That's what it sounded like on the microphone anyway. But
I know you.
Yeah, it was a spicy one.
Come
round
for a barbecue.
Yeah. But not long after that one, Duan scored, and not long after that, Bayless scored, yeah. And not long after that, Russell scored. It was like 10 minutes, bang, bang, bang.
Hopefully Australia...
It's falling off tackles,
yeah,
man.
Hopefully Australia can shore up that defense because...
It happened against Argentina, remember? They were leading that game.
They can fall to pieces.
And then, boy, did they fall to pieces in that game. This game wasn't that bad, but it was not good.
They were just falling off tackles left, right, and center. And they were playing like a team that was playing... The scary thing is they were playing like a team that was in their last week that was just desperate to get back on the plane and enjoy the summer.
But they still got another game.
I know.
In six days.
And that's what I felt a lot about the All Black performance as well, was just guys who were clocked off.
Yeah.
Long season, but if they play like that against Ireland, like, it could be messy, but hopefully they show up for it and you know, there's no shot at the Grand Slam now, which is unfortunate. I thought that if they played the way they did play in that first 15 minutes, if they had a little bit more opportunity to a little bit more clinical and taking those opportunities.
Yeah.
The big break and then the McDermott chip over was
that
a
was
big...
a bit of a wasted opportunity.
Yeah.
But Scotland have got so many good attacking players. Van der Merwe beat, I think, 10 defenders. Graham beat 7. Kinghorn beat like 5. These guys are fucking lethal.
Yeah.
I know it's all well and it's good for us to be like, well, Aussie missed too many tackles, but the Scots, apart from South Africa, who make them always look quiet, like a lot of teams struggle with that Scottish attack. It's just something they do.
Yeah.
They're really good at exposing the width. And
I like the matchup, though. I think the Wallabies on the up,
Scotland are just at that tier above them at the moment. It just kind of gave them a
you're not there yet.
The two games is not like a...
Whereas throughout most of our lifetime, Wallabies...
It was the reverse,
right? Get them done every day of the week. So, hopefully they can get a few more games. I like that sort of...
Harry Potter scored a try. Bit of magic.
How can we not? What were his parents thinking?
I know.
Harry Potter was out and it was a phenomenon when...
it's been out a long time.
97, I think, when the Philosopher's Stone was released.
When was he born?
You're just doing one of the things when you want to fact check me just saying something
confidently. No. I just want to check when he was born to see if they made a...
So 97 was 24 plus 7, 34 years.
He's born in 97. December 97.
All right. So it might not have really just gone nuts.
Yeah.
So he's a little bit older, old Harry Potter, to make a debut.
Yeah.
All right.
Harry Potter first book, when did it come out? June 97. So just unfortunate timing. It's only 6 months. Maybe they would have been pregnant.
They had
their name set on Harry.
Yeah, Harry.
It's not going to be that big.
The prince. And I was about to say the prince was promised. That's a song of Ice and Fire.
It's just
the boy who lived.
Yeah, there you go.
The boy who lived. Harry Potter. Here's to you. He must be so sick of that shit. Because if I met him, I'd be like, "Your name is seriously Harry Potter. Are you fucking shitting me?"
Yeah,
and I'd be like, "Get out your license. I need to see
you." I know.
This.
I met a girl in a bar once who was a friend of my girlfriend at the time, and she introduced me to her, and her name was Rebecca, but everyone called her Bex.
Yeah.
And I was drinking the Bex at the time, and I was like, "Oh, Bex." And she just rolled her eyes like a motherfucker. Like, I never heard that one before.
Yeah.
And that's a fucking beer and a nickname. This is the guy's literal name.
Yeah.
And it's like the biggest book series of all time.
Yeah. If ever I meet a Sylvia, I'm like, "Sylvia's mother says." Or if ever I meet an Eileen, I'm like, "Come on, Eileen. Oh, I'm such a dick." And like, if I meet a Victoria, I'm like, "Victoria." Like, if I meet somebody, and then I go to them, "I'm so sorry. I've got a condition.
Yeah.
I can't control
like,
it."
What was it? Austin Powers, like, "Moly, moly, moly, moly."
Exactly. I just can't help it. If I turn onto them, I'm like,
"Oh, are you gonna fart? Are you gonna fart?"
La 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 la. Yeah.
Yeah.
Terrible. Yeah.
But yeah, he did get a try. He won consolation try for the Wallabies, so at least they didn't not score tries. But Scotland's defense very good. Disrupted the Wallabies lineout very well.
Backline moves looking nice, crisp, sharp.
Yeah. If Scotland could just do that more
consistently.
They would be like, instead of top six, they'd be like, you know,
where do they finish in the Six Nations?
Six Nations. Ugh. They always just seem like, even when they're at their best, they still just seem like one game away from being a title challenger. They'll win a game where you're like, oh shit, this is Scotland's year. And then the next one where you're like, this one they should win.
It's usually they beat England at the beginning of the Six Nations and everyone goes,
oh, it's going to be spicy. This could be it this time. Then they're like, the job's done because we beat England. We hate England. We beat them.
Got the Calcutta Cup.
Exactly. Calcutta Cup. Job done.
Yeah,
go to the beach.
It's like the old days when City would beat United in the year of the blood.
Job done.
Job done. Changed a lot since then.
Well done, Scotland.
Well done, Scotland.
Deserved winners.
Absolutely. 100% they deserve to win the game.
Scrappy in terms of like the niggle, but...
Yeah. I don't mind a bit of niggle.
Yeah, a bit of feeling. I like it. It could be an ongoing rivalry.
You're playing for your country, I think.
They had Sione Tupulotu's granny in the stands, his Scottish granny. She was back in Scotland for the first time in a long time, so.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah.
Oh, was the person they were...
that was his granny. That was his granny.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
How lovely.
There you go.
And does he live in New Zealand? Well, no, he doesn't live in New Zealand.
The Aussie-born guy who plays for Scotland. He's got to be Kiwi somehow.
I just heard Tupulotu, which is not a Māori name, by the way.
No, it's Tongan.
Yeah. Okay. So he didn't spend any time in New Zealand?
I don't believe so, no.
Didn't visit?
He might have.
Is he a lion?
Is he what?
Is he going to be a lion?
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
They got some good midfielders.
We're looking forward to that Lion series.
It's going to be tasty.
Yeah. Should we go for one test and we'll do
Can we get tickets? I've put my hand in the ballot. I haven't got Jack.
For Australian Lions?
Tickets, yeah, for sure.
We should go and do a live...
You might be able to get tickets to one of the super teams.
A live pod.
You won't be able to get a test.
What about through our massive YouTube connections?
Someone's going to give up Lions tickets to these flatulent pricks? I don't think so.
Okay, that should be the title of the podcast, these flatulent pricks.
Well, yeah.
I can't even say it. Okay, rugby!
Argentina and France
We've got through one game, and I've got through almost a beer and a half. I feel like I'm drinking quicker these days.
You are.
All right, you're.
Must be the stress. Yeah. I thought France and Argentina might be a very tasty one.
What's that, sorry?
France and Argentina. I thought, Argentina could get up for this.
Yeah. Because you sleep on Argentina at your...
But how many tries with 4 tries to 2. It's similar to the Aussie game in that never really in doubt.
BLBRA is the scariest man in rugby right now. He's
so quick.
He's got
they just do
shoes.
The same thing again. Just kick it into space and have him chase it. He ran for 19 meters, which is... Fuck all in rugby stats. Like some wingers can get 100 in a game.
Yeah.
But it's because he's just chasing kicks. He doesn't need to run with the ball. Just get him to chase the kicks.
And put it down.
He'll do
that
it.
One where
they basically got two. One of them was the...
last try when there was the Argentinian defense sliding across.
Yeah.
He's got the ball that was after the couple of charge downs. And he puts in that just beautiful, incisive kick through. And then just absolutely freaking blitzes everybody for speed to pick it up. He is so quick and so dangerous. There is no substitute for speed.
Yep.
And that man has it in spades. And he is a terrifying prospect.
Yeah.
He won the game for them last week. And, he's... If I was picking a world team right now, it would be hard-pressed not to have him on a wing right now. Just
for that pure
just
pace.
Just for pure pace.
I don't think anyone's got him for pace right now.
Yeah, he's so quick.
I know, like, Aarons is quick, and Rico's probably not as quick as he used to be, but he used to have great top line speed, but I don't think anyone's as quick as him.
Like, our wingers, like, Talia and Caleb are definite athletes and can be fast off.
Caleb's probably got him for power.
Yeah, 100%, but in terms of just that top end speed, and also he's quick off the mark
he's
as
got
well.
The acceleration, yeah.
I really like Talia, but, I would have him, and he's so good. Damn.
So, yeah, he got one try himself.
It's weird when you're like kind of jealous of players.
And there was another try. And to be fair, like, I feel like the Argentinians maybe don't get some of the 50-50s.
No.
But the what's his name? Gonzalez.
It was more like a light show that a rugby game broke out at.
Right. You like the theatrics of the...
They do it so well in the Stade Français. It's just...
Well, you're calling it Stade Français as well. The All Blacks guys were doing that. It's the Stade de France.
Oh, sorry. I'm New Zealand.
Stade Francais is a club.
Oh, yeah, pardon me. Stade de France. There you go. Yeah, it's they're doing something incredible. And now you watch, everyone is going to turn the lights off during the haka now. That's what we've got for the next 10 years. You watch it. And everyone's going to have to bring out their phones. It's going to be sparkles. It's glowworm time. Anyway.
You know, I was in the ground for the opening game of the 2011 Rugby World Cup.
We've talked about this.
We had to do the phones thing.
One, two, three.
That was really cool.
Yeah, it was cool. I thought the opening ceremony, I was there too.
Yeah. The opening ceremony was amazing.
Yeah, it was really good.
I was pumped. Yeah.
Jonah was there.
He was.
Yeah, it was quite emotional when he came out as well.
That's right.
I went like this, Jonah! Yeah, and no one heard me because everyone else was doing it at the same time.
He was like, Tony!
What up, Jones? Titus, how you doing up there, pal?
Don't put spoilers in your titles. Even Jonah said it.
Jonah knew.
But yeah, there was a penalty try. Juan Martin Gonzalez,
yes,
when they were putting a kick through for BLBRA, he kind of batted it.
Oh. Okay.
And that was a penalty try. Now, I kind of have a philosophy.
I want to hear your philosophy before I give you my take.
Which is basically like, if you cannot put yourself in the referee's hands, go with that. Like, if the dude still has to make like a miracle take to get it, let him do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Rather than bat it and then put yourself at the mercy of the ref. I don't think it was so much a miracle take. I don't know that he's guaranteed to get that ball.
Not guaranteed.
You know what I mean?
It was instinctual. But like, so, if that running situation was the opposite way around, and the French player is running towards his own try line, his own try line, and the Argentinian player is doing that, is that a knock on?
Well, they called it based on the direction of the hand.
So then it's not a knock-on.
Mm.
It's a knock-on every day of the book if it's the other way around, because the ball just travels so immediately forward.
He says
the whole thing was like he's slapping it back. It must be that side of the hand.
Yeah.
But it looks like it touches the tip of his fingers and goes that.
It's just not a good look in rugby. It's not a good look. Like, the ball. You're putting yourself at risk anytime you do that. But if he bats it
that way, it's a penalty try as well.
Yeah.
And he's in the bin.
Yeah.
Because he can't intentionally.
You can do it in league.
You can do that in league. That's the play in league.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was he was on a hiding to nothing any way you cut it.
Mm.
But if it was the other way around and he was running in the other direction, it would have been a knock on every bloody day.
Try and catch it, or try and let him catch and tackle him.
Try and go two hand maybe.
It's hard. He's like spinning and stuff. And but yeah, throwing one hand at the ball. He's got the
quickest man at rugby bearing down
it. Throwing one hand at the ball, I don't think was a great choice.
Yeah. It looked bad. But still, the action of like swinging your hand at it and looking like you're batting it back
is not a great look.
And you can understand why the referee's called it that way. Yeah. But I just think if it was the other way around, he would have called it against player as well. But
And then Montoya got a yellow card as well for a croc roll, which was kind of like...
It was a gentle croc.
Yeah, gentle croc, but they're being very harsh on that. But the Argentinians have been on the side of a few like, that's a bit shit.
The whole autumn series, I felt like the refereeing has not been to the same standard it has been over the last 3 years. I just feel like just the croc roll stuff.
It's because they're putting in more stuff to focus on. And whenever they do that, they start, I feel like they go real hard on stuff.
But it feels like it's just across the board. Like some of the breakdown stuff has been really, really confusing. Like players going off their feet, players sealing the ball. Like it's just so down to the, rather than be like, that's what that is. It's down to what the referee sees, because you can see so many damn things.
Mm.
You know, where head contact is, where head contact isn't. Mm. I really appreciated the call that, what game was it this weekend? And there was an incident where the referee was like, go back and have a look at that. There's head content. No, the TMO, can I get him back, getting him back? And the referee was like, no, I think that's, all it is what game was that?
Yeah, I vaguely remember that.
Was that the All Black game?
Was it the South African game? Oh, there's been so many games on.
I know. This is the best rugby podcast.
I've spent so much time flatulent. I don't know.
Yeah, was it the... It might have been Wales, South Africa. And he made the call the right way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was like, hey, common sense.
Which is nice to see. You don't see it a lot. Anyway.
Maybe it was the Ireland game. I don't remember. There's been so many games on.
And I appreciate people who say, like, I just never comment about the referee. I'm not interested. It's shit. It's boring to me. I'll talk about the bloody ball boys if it makes an impact on the game. It makes a massive impact on the game. Like, I'm not in for like calling the referees assholes and dickheads and personally attacking them. Like, I just see the referees very much as the way I would see a coach or another player. Like, they're a person out there that has an impact on the game, and the only sad thing about being a referee is when you do a really good job, it's very rare that people go, blooming hell. They don't say it was a great game. They don't say, well, that was really well officiated. We had that fantastic game because the officiator.
The best thing is nobody's talking about you.
Yeah, exactly. But you're only getting talked about when you do something shit.
Yeah.
You know, which sucks. But
what I don't like is when people like solely focus on the referee of why their team lost. Like World Cup final last year, when you've got Jordy Barrett missing a kickable penalty.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't be like, well, the ref lost the game. That's my. I have to put that mindset, otherwise I would go nuts.
Yeah, 100%. All those close games, if you lose a close game, there's going to be at least a dozen opportunities you
both
had
ways
where you could have.
Could have won it or lost it.
You know, like, and maybe some of those incidents involved refereeing calls, but some of them didn't.
That's right.
You know, so it is what it is. There's humans involved. Humans make mistakes.
This is true.
Even you and I. Very rarely.
Yeah.
Are you blocking your... I've noticed the last few times you're quite blocky on your face.
Okay.
Put it to this. And then I have to find you smiling sometimes.
Thumbnail.
YouTube drama.
But yeah, France won pretty comfortably. They looked the business.
Mm-hmm.
DuPont's still good. Louis Bielbierre is still good. Their fullback Beret looks good. Their forward pack looks good.
They're a good team.
They're a very good team.
Antoine,
you know what?
I would love to see that full strength squad down
to
New Zealand.
I know that'd be great.
We ain't going to see it.
You know, last year, a few teams, the Wallabies and the Box, gave them a lot of trouble by just kicking high balls at them.
Yeah.
People don't seem to be doing that right now.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Because it was really, I think one of the
we didn't do it at them, did
the
we?
The Pumas did it at least once and they got some good pay from it. I was like,
yeah,
do that more.
Just quickly touching on the Pumas, I'm going to rate it like a bloomin' A- for them for the year. Or maybe
I think
they've
finished 50-50 with their record for the year.
But they play the best teams in the world. You know, like
they beat us, they beat the Box, they beat like not many teams have beaten the Box this year.
Yeah, it's just them in Ireland. That's it. It's quite remarkable.
Yeah,
you know, they've had a great
year. They've had a pretty good year, especially with Kontopomi as the coach. Like of all the new coaching appointments, right? Like you had Razor with the All Blacks. You're like fucking Crusaders done so well. He's gonna be amazing. Joe Schmidt with the Wallabies. You're like, well, he's done amazing work before.
Ireland,
he's gonna be the
man.
The
All Blacks, yeah.
Right. And you had Rossi going back to South Africa. Like, well, fuck, you know what he can do.
Yeah.
And then you got Kontopomi. You're like, well, he's never coached an international team before. This could be a disaster.
But he seems as though he's got the.
I mean, he's done coaching, but he's never been like the head coach of an international side. So I mean, neither is Razor.
I guess. Seems like every inch a head coach, though, doesn't he?
He's done bloody well.
He's done fantastic.
Yep.
Argentina of the future. I hope they become a superpower that doesn't beat us.
Did you watch Ireland and Fiji?
I caught.
It was 52-17.
Tell me about it because I caught maybe one or two tries.
Why
are we talking about this game? I mean, should we go to a bigger game?
What else is there?
We haven't talked to All Blacks Italy.
How is that bigger than Ireland Fiji?
Oh, wow. Well, there's more to I have more to talk about, more to say. All right, tell me about Ireland, Fiji.
Ireland beat them.
Okay, that's good. Was it?
They look pretty good.
Munts set up a nice try. I saw that one.
Yeah, they got two tries. The Fijian lads.
Fiji underperform, or were they just outclassed?
They gave away a lot of penalties. I feel like it was a decent chance for them because the Irish had a guy playing 10 who was only in his second game.
Yep.
And they had a debut for their hooker.
Is that Munts was only playing his second game?
No, for Ireland.
Oh, right. It was Prendergast, was it?
Prendergast, yeah.
Did he get binned?
He did. He had a shoulder.
Ooh.
Which was a bit dumb.
Dummy.
Yeah, a bit dumb. Shouldn't do that. But, yeah, they just, they looked like Ireland.
They look
good. You know what I mean? They played some slick, quick ball. When they've got that quick gameplay going and their halfback Casey was
just...
Quick
got...
They're a really hard team to stop.
Second phase, third phase plays. They're really good.
They just tire teams out.
Yeah.
I mean, Doris got a try. Van der Fleer got one. Mac Hansen got a couple. They scored some nice tries. It was just never really in doubt.
Would you say it's flat track bullies and they would have struggled against...
better opposition. I mean, it's hard to judge. But
like, this is a Fiji team that bet Wales.
Yeah, but we're Wales at the moment, like you say.
Oh, God, Wales. Bloody hell.
Yeah.
Wales are in a bad way.
Fiji would have liked to have done a lot better, given that Ireland had mixed it up and given that Fiji had most of their big guns, barring Rad Radra playing. They would have been aiming for a lot better than 52-17.
Have Fiji underperformed on this tour?
They got smoked by Scotland when they didn't have their internationals available.
It was like the Drua versus...
It was the Drua versus the two URC teams from Scotland, basically. So that one's kind of an anomaly. And then...
They did, had a great result against Wales.
They played Wales, which was their first ever win in Cardiff, which was... good, but I guess we got to take into context of where Wales are at.
But that's the team. That's the team.
You play the team in front of you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And Wales would have circled that one as their one that they're going to have to win.
And then they struggled a wee bit against Spain, and then they got thumped by Ireland. So, yeah, I think...
It's 2 from 4.
Could have been better. Yeah. Well, 1 from 4, isn't it?
No, the bit...
Well, the bit Wales. The Wales and Spain.
And Spain. Yeah. There we go. All right. So, C plus.
The guy, Gus McCarthy, the hooker, barring his first throw, which was a bit askew... I thought he looked really good.
Cool.
For a guy who's only played like 5 games for Leinster to go and get his debut.
They must have wraps on him for sure. Escalate him through the system that quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Because they got some pretty old locks. No, old hookers, eh?
Well, Sheehan's the young guy. He's out injured for a long time. And then Kelleher's not too bad. But yeah, barring those two guys, they don't really have a third guy who's a youngster. So now they do.
Don't they have a 37-year-old who's in there as well?
Guy who's sneezing.
Just, yeah, it's Lydia sneezing.
Okay.
Dear, oh dear. Anyway, well done, Ireland. Okay.
You want to talk about the All Blacks?
I don't really.
Like, I was feeling kind of sick over the weekend, and that game didn't make me feel any better.
Oh, it made me want to. I was like, fine.
I had the shits, and that game gave me more of the shits.
I was fine, and it gave me the shits. It made me want to vomit.
29-11. It was in the freezing cold. Many of the games were played in the fairly cold weather this weekend.
It was like pulling teeth. Oh, God, it was painful to watch.
It was a bad game.
It was absolute dog shit. It was like Chinese water torture. Like, I just wanted it to end. And it was... every part of our game looked kind of shit. One of the things that you like...
Scrummed it all right.
Scrummed it all right, line-out. It was like, yeah, scrummed it all right. There you go. But one of the things we take pride on in New Zealand is we have players who can catch, pass, run. All of them.
Yes.
And then they were all playing like... I had been their skills coach. Like, just drop ball, no cohesion, like, no penetration. Yeah. It was terrible. It was like watching someone with a micro penis trying to have sex. It was just not going to happen. It was a tough watch. And the only thing that, like, I think the All Blacks have made some good ground this year, but the thing that still worries me, and this amplified my worries, is we just look as though we play a lot behind the gain line and we just don't penetrate that much. And our attack at times looks quite not... What's the opposite of... It doesn't look lethal. It doesn't look threatening.
Just
it
a bit just, blunt, hey?
Yeah, it's just a bit shit, really.
Pedestrian.
Like, yeah, we were bigger, faster, better athletes, and that's why we won that game. There weren't a huge amount of great moments. I didn't even think Will Jordan won the game, and when they said he won the game, he won the game. He got player of the game, whatever it is. And then they said, when they announced it, I went, oh.
Really?
I thought he played like shit. Like, well, no offense.
He's not had a great
tour,
even though he still scored the odd try.
Yeah, yeah.
He shelled a bit of ball against France, didn't he?
Yeah, it was. It just looked very much. I don't know. I'm trying to write it off as a game where the All Blacks were just like, it's summertime. I just want to get on the plane. I want to see my family.
Get to go and golf next week.
It's a long time. It's a long time away from your family. You just want to, you know, get home. You want to have your summer holidays. You want to enjoy your Christmas. And I really felt that kind of performance, but it did. Still make me nervous about our general attack. And that's, you know, with Luke McDonald leaving.
Luke McDonald? No,
shit, what's his name?
Leon McDonald.
Leon McDonald leaving. Maybe our attack is an issue that just doesn't look that sharp and that imposing, which is meant to be our strength. It really is. Like, getting scrum penalties and field position.
That's not really what you think of when you think All Black rugby.
But that seems to be what it is right now. So obviously Jason Ryan's doing a pretty good job. But it is what it is.
Birdie kind of got a freebie on a kick return at the end.
Yeah, that's just because he's just a quality player and just picked one up.
Otherwise, it was going to be, what, 22-11?
Yeah.
What's weird is because when you look at all our games against Italy, like, that's the one team, like, we always flog them.
Yeah. Well, there's been two games in our history where we haven't scored 40 points or more.
That's nuts.
Yeah. So we always pump them. We put 90 points on them last World Cup.
That's right. That's Fozzie's All Blacks.
Yeah.
It looked pretty similar sides in terms of the playing personnel.
Some big players who have left, you know, those teams. But so I just feel like they're playing like a little bit of a team that is keen to get on holiday, essentially. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, it was shit.
Yeah, it was shit.
It wasn't an easy watch.
Pulling teeth.
Yeah, it was really scrappy.
Yeah, and there were like even moments when it was 22-11 in the second half where they were like hot in our attack, and there were moments in those moments the All Blacks like repelled phase after phase, yeah, penalty after penalty, and I was like, okay, that's good defense.
Yeah,
like really good defense. But why are we under so much pressure from Italy? Like if they score there and they go up 18-22, they go 18-22 in front of. And the
good crowd.
The crowd would have got absolutely rabid at that stage.
Yeah.
And who knows what happens. Because I was sitting there going, this is...
Yeah, when Scotty Barrett got his yellow card, I was like, ooh,
this is
a bit...
That was a dumb yellow. That was a dumb crock roll.
Scotty Barrett's good for a dumb yellow card every third game. No, is that harsh?
I don't know. But you're captain. You don't want your captain to be dumb. Mm. You know, you want smart and sharp, you know. You want... Richie McCaw, come back. But yeah, it is what it is. Italy, what do you think of them? Played pretty well.
I mean, they never looked like winning, really. We always had them kind of at an arm's length.
Yeah.
But I mean, they'll be pretty happy with that result.
Yeah.
I think, there was a bit of revenge for the... I mean, I don't want to say revenge because you still get beaten.
They were humiliated.
4-1, but they were, yeah, absolutely humiliated at their last World Cup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
But it was an ugly game.
It was super ugly.
Not a great ad for rugby, that one.
No, don't watch that game. I think the Italian fans probably enjoyed it.
I mean, it's better than getting beaten by 90.
Yeah, yeah. It certainly would have been. But I certainly did not enjoy it sitting on my couch. I was actually started scrolling on my phone when the game was on. And I never do that when All Blacks are playing. Like, I very rarely.
Yeah. I remember I was feeling sick. And I was just like, this is not making me feel better.
Yeah, I'm not taking my mind off it or anything.
No, exactly. Like, it might be a nice distraction if there was a bit of game going on, but no, it wasn't.
It was shithouse. It
wasn't pleasant.
Some nice tries, some silky moves. It was just, try and think of three nice moments in that game.
I think Menoncello won a really nice turnover for Italy at one point. And I was like, oh, that's cool. And he scored a try. And I remember bigging him up in the preview. I was like, if you're an All Blacks fan never watches Italy, fucking watch this guy. And I was like, justified.
You're an expert, man.
I'm a fucking expert. Yes.
You are an expert. Oh, well, there was that game. Wales, South Africa.
That was...
Has he resigned yet?
Nah.
He's just... What are they going to do? I thought that he'd just be hanging his hat up.
Keep on keeping on. 45-12.
Are they seriously not getting rid of him?
It's a bit sad when the first two try scorers are like Franco Mostert and Eben Etzebeth.
Yeah, the two locks.
The two locks. And they're not like... There are some locks who genuinely get tries.
Yeah.
Eben and Franco are not like prolific try scoring locks either.
And they weren't tries that were just like 5 meters out. Like,
no, they were. I think they were set up by Colby and Aarons, to be
but
fair.
They, yeah, but they trotted them in from about 20.
Yeah.
They looked like centers of winners finishing.
South Africa's sick, man. Like they played at 70%.
Yeah.
And they still won 45-12.
It was brutal.
Like they came out of the blocks firing 6 minute, 9th minute, 19th minute, try.
And look, not to disrespect the Welsh, they looked like they were really digging in. They really wanted to put in a big performance.
They scored the last try of each half. So it's not like they were doing the Australia thing where once the floodgates open, they just capitulated. They kept going.
Yeah.
So there is something there, but
so depressing to watch, though.
The box were always going to manhandle them.
Surely they've got to get new management and coaching. Surely. You don't get 13 losses in a row at this level and it's like, you're on, don't worry, you'll get better. Like, no matter who you are. Like, seriously.
I do refuse to believe that he's getting the most out of the players that he could. I can't believe that is true.
They got some half.
I'm not saying that they will be a great side under somebody else, but there's no way that's the best you can get from them.
Yeah, but it's actually a relatively giant drop in form over the last 8 years. You'd say they went 2019. They almost got the box in the semi final.
Yeah, that was a real arm wrestle. I remember that one.
Yeah, and then they beat South Africa in South Africa in 2020.
They won one of three in that series when the box changed it up a bit. But I think that might...
Was that 2022?
Yeah, I think so.
Podcast was on at the time. And then since then... They had won
the Six Nations under Pivac before that, but it was the red card Six Nations where everyone played them, got red carded.
Yeah. And so they won the Six Nations...
But they still had the likes of, like, they still had Alan Wynne Jones, and they still had Dan Bigger, and they still had, like, the guys who were at the tail end of that golden generation. Yeah, Tipperick was still playing, I think. Yeah, they still had a bunch of kind of golden generation guys playing for them.
But, yeah, it's just completely fallen off a cliff. Like,
the next generation's just not seemingly been there yet. They look like,
if they play Georgia tomorrow, who wins?
It's a good game.
Yeah, it's tight. And Georgia's beaten them in the past, haven't they?
In Wales as well.
Yeah. So Georgia
could I think go. Based on like morale at the moment, probably you'd back the Georgians.
Yeah, so they're not a...
Like the Welsh would be going into that one with a negative mindset. Whereas you saw what the Georgians did against Italy. Like they almost beat them because they have that like we want to prove ourselves
mindset. Wales is not a tier one nation at the moment. That's hard to say.
Nice.
Yeah, it is nice, isn't it?
I was reluctant to have some because of my gas issues, but...
Yeah, you're onto it now.
We're getting towards the tail end, so I'll risk it. I keep saying tail end. Stop doing that.
Yeah, I haven't smelled anything.
So well, I've been holding it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm going to explode later.
Just going to go out there and go, podcast is over. That's Mark's fart.
Your neighbours will be calling the police. They're like, shit. There's a meth lab over there.
Someone's doing bloody burnouts again. Shit. Yeah, bloody old one.
But yeah, try scorers: Aronson, Lowe, Fassi, Steenkamp, Jordan Hendricks. Like I say, I don't think the box even had to put in anywhere near their best performance, and they still looked ultra comfortable.
Yeah, it looked like the first 15 playing the second 15.
I remember this was like the first time they played a new 9-10 combo. Yeah. They played the brothers, the Hendricks brothers at 9 and 10. You know what I mean? It wasn't like. Nice. It wasn't Pollard and, you know, like frickin' Faf de Klerk or something. It was more changes. And they had a debutant from the bench, so he's changing it up, old Russi. And he's
and
still...
it was easy.
Mm-hmm.
Great year for the South Africans, yeah?
And they dropped two games.
I think this is in my living memory, their best non-World Cup year.
For sure.
Yeah.
What did they lose their two games by, like a point?
Wasn't much.
Both their games were like knife edge ones.
Yeah,
they lost.
We pushed them, but we didn't. They overcame us with sheer will.
Yeah,
And we folded. Oh well, yeah, great year for South Africa.
You look at them playing Wales and winning 45-12, and you look at us, Italy 29-11, and you go, oh shit, yeah,
God, we played particularly poorly. I have to think that, like. That was a bad performance. End of Sam Kane. He's not done.
Yeah, and the TJ. And TJ. Their All Blacks careers are done. They're still going to go and play Japan.
A little bit of controversy with TJ's haka. Did you hear this?
Oh, I heard about that. He started it. I thought that when I heard him at the start, I was like, oh, that's not the normal words to the haka.
Yeah. So how do we explain this to foreign viewers?
Politics. New Zealand politics.
Treaty of Waitangi. Titi o te Waitangi. Hikoi's David Seymour.
I saw him the other day.
Look it up. You can make up your own mind.
Yeah. TJ put a political statement in the haka.
Yeah, he did.
Controversy.
Controversy corner. 100%.
But they've both been good servants of New Zealand rugby.
The great way to de-escalate political tensions is to sing about it. You just gotta sing about it. Makes it better. Because people stop thinking about the political tension and they start thinking to themselves, would this motherfucker stop singing?
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like when I'd have I'd hurt my hand or something or hurt my lip, my dad would be like, okay, come here, I'll stand on your foot.
Oh, yeah.
Take your mind off it.
My mum used to say something like that.
Yeah, indeed. What's your favourite saying from your parents?
Oh, my mum's got loads of them. And what's funny with my mum is whenever I see, because she's got like 5 sisters and 2 brothers, whenever I see any of them, they've all got the same.
Which one do you adapt or do you use yourself?
Oh. My mum likes to say 6 of 1, 6 of 2.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, yeah.
As if to say, it's my more or less the same.
I said, where's my keys, mum? And she says, I don't know, ask your mother. She'll say.
Where you left them?
No, she'll say, I don't know, up your ask your mother for sixpence.
I've never heard that one before.
So instead of saying ask, you say ask your mother for sixpence. Indeed. Or she'll say, if she says something and I'm like, oh, mum, I'm a middle child, it's all right. And she'll like, don't take offense, take a paddock.
Wow, okay.
It's good.
That's classic.
My Lydia's mum says a good one, which is when there are like siblings fighting or bickering or something like that, or she hears people fighting, she goes, fight you bastards, I hate peace.
My mum says that one.
Yeah, I like that one, that's good.
I don't know if she used bastards, but she says...
Or buggers, fight you buggers, yeah, I hate peace.
Fight you noisy buggers, I hate peace. My mum says that one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I like that one.
Yeah.
Because it makes you laugh when you're fighting.
Yeah. She says that one as well.
Indeed. All right, we got more rugby.
England played Japan.
Oh, shit house.
59-14.
I really need to pee, man.
I need to fart, and I've been holding it, so you hold it.
Oh, I need to... Can you have a fart break and I'll have a pee break?
59, do you really need a break?
We've got
rugby awards to talk about.
We've got rugby
as well.
Awards, and I want to plug this. Okay.
Go.
So, intermission, everybody. Thanks, Bill. We've had some unplanned admissions. We're back. You've farted your guts out. Did you really let rip out there?
No, not really.
You were like hoping
I'm
for...
so far backed up that it's going to take more than a quick intermission to
holy fuck.
Unclog things.
Holy shit.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe a quick cup of tea today. what were we talking about? Rugby, eh?
England to Japan? You didn't watch that one, eh? Because that was on 4 o'clock this morning.
We watched the highlights together just before.
Mauls.
Maul tries.
And some silky backs tries.
The problem with England is the tries that they concede look like they're really shit defenders.
Yeah.
Like
they get exposed.
They got absolutely skinned. Yeah. Like it looked so much like a classy team running in a try against a shitty team.
Yes.
But they're very much committed to that out-to-in
blitz
defense. That they leave space out wide and they haven't. And if you're quick enough and sharp enough to exploit it, you've got money
miles
in the bag.
Of space, yeah.
And they've conceded points at crucial times. You could say that similar try and defense structure was responsible for the Wallabies try at the end of that particular game.
That's
so.
It. So they still look a bit vulnerable. They need to decide. I mean, the commentary team keep going on about that. Like, because they've had a change in their defense coach who resigned a while back. So do they stick with this like former guy's plan or do they just implement a new defensive structure with their new defense coach? Because it seems like they're still going off the old plan with the new coach. You know what I mean? Like when a new guy comes in, they usually want to stamp your
own. And everybody knows, like it's aggressive. It's really good in the tight. It's it cuts off players. You know, someone like a Rico Ioane who doesn't quickly pass it, it cuts him off before he's able to do anything. But if you're able to do that backdoor play to your fullback or something, just feed speed out wide, you're vulnerable.
For sure.
And I think teams are working that out.
Yeah, I don't think there's any really eyebrows raised on that result.
Really good team, though. I feel like
you're backing them for some Six Nations success.
I think so. I don't know why. I've just got a feels. I got those England feels. You know, it's really weird. Like, I'm Irish and a New Zealander. New Zealander first. And we've grown up, like, to despise English teams of all degrees.
It's like drilled into us from a young age.
It really is. But I've known so many English people in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And very few of them are pricks. You know, most of the English people, all the English people who live in New Zealand, there's freaking tons of them. And they're fucking awesome. And I lived in England and they were like super nice people, like got our humour, like, I don't know. But you go to Wales, you go to Ireland, and they fucking hate them.
Yeah.
They know them well. I know lots of English and Irish people. I'm starting to weirdly warm up to English people in terms of... I've always had a definite affection for them in terms of the individuals. But I'm actually, as getting older, I'm just like... Actually,
warming up to the team.
Well, not just the team, but I'm just warming up to English people as a general collective. I'm like, actually, they're pretty good bastards.
Mm.
You know? Am I the first human being to say that in history?
I have found the more English rugby I have watched... the more I get into them. It's just a thing. Like, I never... like, there's only a couple of jerseys that I felt weird putting on.
England.
England was one. Yeah. Crusaders was one.
Oh, don't put on a Crusaders
jersey. Wallabies was another one. It's kind of weird just to put on those jerseys.
Yeah.
But, yeah, just... I guess it's that kind of other thing. But once I started watching the Premiership, I can't, like, not like the guys who are, like... I watch them week in, week out for, like, Harlequins, and, like, he's fucking amazing. And then when he plays for England, I'm like, oh, that guy, he's amazing.
Yeah. Can I have a suggestion for your channel?
Okay.
Can we get you a new profile photo? Because you're looking a lot older than you did then.
Oh, true. Okay.
Well, you were like a...
That's 2018.
2018. So it was 6 years ago. 7 years ago.
I had one kid at the time.
You didn't have any kids?
I had one kid.
One kid. All right. Okay.
Okay, I'll update it.
Yeah, update it.
New Year's.
Just maybe strap on some arseless chaps, little sex appeal, and put on like a Exeter Bulls cock ring. How's that?
Where the hell did this... how'd that turn that?
What? I'm just giving you ideas. I'm spitballing ideas for your new profile pic. I was saying arseless chaps with an Exeter Bulls.
Did you see the World Rugby Awards? I'm going to hit you with them.
I really wanted to go down
there. What about you making the demise of Japan? I think Eddie's just blooding a bunch of new guys.
Okay, well, we'll see what happens to Japan at the next World Cup. They're not. We keep wanting them to be better than they are.
They had this one. They also had kind of a golden generation, which was due to peak at 2019, and they did peak at 2019.
And they won against South Africa in 2015.
Yeah, but I mean, they were more successful in terms of they made it out of the group stages in 2019.
Yeah,
which was maybe not as big a single game, but it was a bigger overall achievement.
Aye.
I beat Ireland in that campaign as well, remember?
Yeah.
And they
beat Scotland.
Yeah.
They were immense, eh?
They were. But they focused on that campaign. Then after that, we had COVID. I feel like COVID kind of fucked things up for Japanese rugby. They stopped getting games. And then a bunch of their guys got old and they didn't replace them.
Yeah, we don't want teams like coming up to the top level then departing it really quickly.
Mm.
We want you to work your way up to it.
After that 2019 World Cup, it was like, man, do they need to join the Six Nations or do they need to join the Rugby Championship? We've got to get them in now.
Because they've
arrived, but
you
know, they've kind of fallen off again.
Like, imagine if like Georgia starts to knock off, get the odd win against England, Scotland. Yeah, they get a historic win versus Ireland.
Mm.
You know, push France really, really close or something. Then they fall off.
Mm.
You know, and then they get pumped by Italy all the time and Wales again. Like, we want to have the more great A-level teams we've got,
the more ones, good games you get,
the better the rugby, the better the experience, you know?
That's right.
Oh, well.
World Rugby Awards.
Yes, I know.
Not these bad boys.
Oh, yeah. These are the real rugby awards.
This is becoming next week.
Next week, it's on your channel, pal. This is like probably like the last... people watching this, I appreciate you. This is... I shouldn't say that, but this could be like the last video content you see on my channel for a while. there might be stuff. Subscribe! I never tell anyone to subscribe now, do I?
You should.
Subscribe! Why not?
It's a call to action.
Well, subscribe because I'm not releasing any videos for like the next 3 months.
Moral support for Tony.
Yeah, just be like, attaboy. One of those. But anyway, my favorite episode of the whole year is coming up. I think this is going to be, this might be episode 33. It'll be episode 34 next week. 34 of these bastards we've done this year. And it will be the 2CGDs. Huge gala event. It's a night of glitz. It's a night of glamour. It's a night to get your number ones on, to get all dolled up. You spend a lot of time in makeup before we come out. How would you describe the 2CGDs?
Fucking amazing.
It's just immense. It's a very special time of year.
We had a bunch of suggested nominated categories.
If you got any other suggestions, let us know. Got some good ideas. Maybe we need to have a pre-production meeting this week.
Maybe.
And go through some ideas of what we're going to do. Make sure that everyone's got parking sorted for everyone when they arrive.
Any suggestions for categories, you let us know. Best shit team.
Best shit team's a tough one.
Some of the suggestions are quite specific, and Tony and I have kind of bad memories.
Yeah, so help us out. Maybe give us some examples.
Give some suggestions.
And then that will help us jolt our memories. We're very old. We suffer from...
Yeah.
I was about to say early onset dementia, but we're old enough just to have normal dementia now, I think. Looking forward to the 2CGDs. That's all I'm thinking about. What about you?
There were the World Rugby Awards in the meantime.
Oh, the
official ones. The ones at Monaco. They do them somewhere fancy. Not quite as fancy as West Auckland, but relatively fancy.
It ain't Tat North.
That's it. So you know which awards?
Oh, by the way, before we go on, got recognised.
Oh.
I got recognised at the... but a big shout out to Alex from Event Cinemas. I was buying my tickets to the movies and I was making an inappropriate joke at the thing... I had my QR code on my phone and it wasn't scanning, and I was like, eventually we'll get it in. I was like, this is like losing your virginity. And then somehow that gave it away to him. He was like, are you Tony from Distracted Sports? And I was like, yes, guilty as charged. But yeah, he made me a mean old fashioned as well, which was good.
What's an old fashioned?
It's a cocktail, like a manly cocktail that has orange in it.
Nice.
So, yeah, he was a top lad in the gold class lounge.
There you go.
Very
dollar,
nice.
Dollar bills, y'all.
Yeah, letting them spray. Nice guy. Thanks very much for being a fan. Whenever I meet anybody in the real world who watches any of our content, even yours, if someone, I'm like, what's wrong with you? What's gone wrong in your life that's led you to this? So, for all of you, deepest sympathies, but
seek
also...
Seek help.
Better appreciation. Exactly. Deep appreciation.
And love.
Yeah, 100%.
The awards. So which ones do you know?
Satiti's.
You know Satiti got breakthrough.
I literally don't know a single other player.
Okay.
Can I make guesses?
You can make guesses.
Tell me if I'm right or not.
Who do you think got the Sevens Men's Player of the Year?
I think it was just through the performance in the semi and the final, but I don't quite agree with this, but I think just they would have done it. But he wasn't in a super regular feature throughout the World 7 Series. But I think they would have given it to Antoine Dupont.
You would be correct.
Antoine Dupont. Good.
Yep. That was a pretty easy call. Who do you think got the men's 15s Player of the Year? Remember, it was Peter Steph, it was Evan, it was Cheslin, and it was Kalen.
I'm not a scrum guy. I'm not a scrum guy. But if there was ever a year that the prop could have won it or even been bloody nominated, it was this year. So the fact that Oxenshea was not nominated indicates to me that a prop
can never win it,
never be nominated.
No.
It's a little bit silly.
Yeah.
Like, I know that they, like, well, what are they going to do? They're going to put Kalen Dorris out and just have four blocks as the thing, because probably out of those four, Kalen Dorris is
he had a very good year as well.
He had a very good year. Yeah. He's a very good player, but I don't think he had as good a year as he did.
Well, the difference is like you could look at all the loose forwards in the world, and it's very competitive. Whereas you look at all the props in the world, and I feel like there's fewer guys that you could legit have an argument like.
Yeah, this guy's I just think it's a little bit depressing that they. You can never get in if you're a lock. Yeah. No, if you're a prop.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm pretty confident about this. I don't know the result. Peter's safety toy.
He got it. I also called that one because, like, I do the stats in the team of the week shit, and he's always there.
Yeah, right.
Because his numbers are just legit incredible.
Oh, God.
Who do you reckon got coach of the year? And I guarantee you will not guess it.
Okay, I actually saw a headline that Russie didn't get it.
Yeah, Russie didn't get it.
So I feel like it's, oh, what do you have to do? So I guarantee I'm not going to get it. It's not Contepomi. Can you tell me the nominees?
No, because they don't do nominees for that one.
Sarah, bullshit.
No, they don't.
Fozzie, just for old time's sake. Who would have got it? Schmitty, no. Kind of, Russ is the obvious choice, but I know he didn't win it.
Shall I just tell you?
Okay.
The coach of the French men's sevens team.
Oh, okay.
I guess because he took a pretty average sevens team and got them to Olympic gold.
Okay.
It'd be like...
But I feel like they should have coach of the year sevens, coach of the year 15s.
It's a bit of a weird one, eh? Yeah. Because like, John Mitchell had an amazing year with the England women. They are literally a higher ranked team than any team in history.
John Mitchell.
And Russie's like literally gone all but two games. He's won everything he could this year and lost two games by like a couple of points.
It's not like... I think sevens has as much to do with rugby 15s as league has to do with rugby 15s. Mm. So you wouldn't be like, all right, coach of the year, Ivan Cleary. You know, like it's a different sport, you know, like well, let's celebrate them. Let's be the, you know, the world rugby.
Give them their own category, I think.
Give them their own categories, for God's sake. You give the players their own categories.
Yeah, not the coaches.
All right.
Elsewhere, Ellie Kildan got the Women's 15s Player of the Year, English girl.
Yeah.
Amazing outside back. Madison Levi got the Women's Sevens. She was amazing for Australia, although they didn't get the medal they wanted.
They didn't get any medal there, did
no,
they?
No, that's it. But that's it.
Oh.
There were others, but those are the main ones. So.
All right.
Yeah, so...
That's rugby.
That's rugby for a week. It's a lot of rugby.
Next week is...
Probably our final podcast
of the year.
Of the year.
We'll probably rip back up maybe a week before the
Six Nations
starts.
I guess so.
It's well over. It's over 30 podcasts a year. This one.
So decent. It's a decent stint.
It's a good stint of coming around to my place. We might have our annual family summer barbecue as well. That'd be great.
We've done that once.
Well, let's make it an annual event.
Annual event. There you go.
Yeah, yeah. I can play the guitar, and our daughters can do some. Strange interpretive dancing again. That was fun, wasn't it? That's what, my daughter's terrible for that. Like every time we have people around or she's at a family event, she goes around and then she... I don't know where she gets the showboating and showing off from. I really don't. She gives everyone tickets constantly.
Wow.
Everyone gets a ticket and then you're like... Oh. And the people who haven't been there before are like, oh, this is cute, this is nice. And then the rest of us who have been to like 81 of these bloody shows, we're like, okay. But they're always kind of interesting. And
you'll miss it when she's gone.
Yeah, she's not doing that anymore. But
when I say gone, I mean like she's moved out of your house.
Fucking hell.
I don't mean to go dark.
I wasn't thinking about it at all.
Just sounded wrong when it came out of my mouth.
You're going to miss me when I'm gone. Yes, they don't stay cute and sweet.
No, not for long.
Is Garrett past the cute and sweet stage?
He's developing the features of like a young man.
Really? Big old feet.
Facial features.
Good old jawline is what I've chosen.
He keeps talking about everything is skibbity fucking this and skibbity that.
What's skibbity?
Oh, bro, you're old.
What's skibbity?
It's current slang.
Skip,
Sigma.
What it's gone to like back to the 1930s when they're scatting it?
All basically.
Right. Skibbity dooba.
Yeah. Basically.
All right. Okay. Cool bananas.
Terrible.
All right, Mark. This is a rugby podcast called
2 Cents Gets Distracted.
And it is a rugby podcast. You can listen to this
on Spotify.
You can listen on YouTube. You're watching it on YouTube. You can
Google. Apple Podcasts.
iHeartRadio.
And wherever else you get your podcasts.
I did a little Google search of us, and we're on like fucking thousands of bloody podcast platforms. So if you're listening to us on one of those obscure platforms, thank you. We appreciate your patronage, indeed. appreciate you, Mark. Congratulations. I'm going to disinfect this hand because it already smells like shit.
See you later, everybody.
Take care, everybody.